You're listening to In the Drink with Joe Campanelli, and I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. Usually at about this time, I would tell you that when I'm not hosting In the Drink, you can find me at one of my restaurants in Brooklyn, New York, Fausto or Lalu, but those restaurants are closed like so many others due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this season, we're doing something a little bit different. I'm bringing you episodes of In the Drink that focus on how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected people all across the wine industry and how they're coping. I also want to give a plug to something we're doing at my restaurant Lalu this Saturday, May 9th. We're going to be hosting an online orange wine tasting. It's going to be me and my partner Dave Foss. We're going to be opening up some of our favorite orange wines at home. And we encourage everyone who's joining to open up an orange wine, sign up, join us for this tasting. Even if you don't have an orange wine at home, you can still sign up. I think it'll be a lot of fun. At least I hope so. This is going to be our first one. We'll see how it goes. But there's a link in our bio on our Instagram page, at Lalu Brooklyn. We're also going to be putting a link in the show notes for this episode. For this week's episode of In the Drink, we have on Dustin Wilson. Dustin is a master sommelier. He's a star in the Somm films, and he owns a great wine retail store called Verve Wines with locations in San Francisco and in Tribeca in New York City. Dustin talks about how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting his business and some of the changes that are being made in the retail world. I thought it was a great conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. Dustin, thanks so much for coming back on In the Drink. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
I guess I would love to just get a sense from you as to what your day-to-day is like these days and how the pandemic has affected the wine retail world.
You know, my day-to-day is, I'll be honest, I've probably not the role model for quarantining. I'm like eating terribly, waking up later than usual. You know, the days where I stay at home, like in pajama pants all day long. So I don't know if I'm doing it well or not doing it well. It's hard to tell. But, you know, I still try to keep like a, as far as the work week goes, you know, more of a Monday through Friday mindset and, you know, schedule things accordingly. And a lot of my life went from, you know, I used to be pretty busy with like meetings and calls before, whether in offices or meeting somebody for coffee or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I just do a lot of that from home now via, you know, things like Zoom or just phone calls. So still keeping super busy. And then a few days a week, I'll go down to the store as well and hang with the team and pack boxes and do deliveries and that sort of thing. You know, as far as how business has changed, you know, we've had to pivot basically to fully e-commerce. So the store, we shut down the store for walk-ins. And the store has essentially become just a warehouse at this point, a fulfillment center. You know, we're still taking orders and we're still in business and the team's still working, but we're just taking orders online and then doing, you know, local deliveries. People can still come pick up, you know, we'll set times where they can come pick up and then we just put the bottles out on the sidewalk and they grab them. And, you know, we're still shipping wines as well. So we've actually been able to still do a fair amount of business considering all that's going on. And a lot of the normal walk-in business that we would get has converted into just buying online and either picking up or getting it delivered. And it's been really interesting how to see because the store, which is a warehouse now, you know, it's kind of a mess. There's boxes everywhere and there's like packing materials everywhere. And, you know, it doesn't feel good from like a cleanliness standpoint. Like it's just cluttered, you know, which I don't love. You know, I look forward to when we can kind of clean everything up and put things back where they belong and, you know, return to normal and tidy again. But it's actually been super, super efficient. You know, we only need a couple people down there to fill orders. So the orders come in, we print them out, we get them taken care of and out the door. And that's that. And, we, you know, we've shortened the hours and, you know, we're making sure the team is safe and, you know, is getting back and forth to work in a safe way and everybody's staying safe and we're, you know, following all the sanitization policies that we can to keep the space free and clear of any contaminants and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's the first week or so was really tricky, just kind of the uncertainty that came with it. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to stay in business or not. We weren't sure if we were going to be considered an essential business. Luckily, we were. And then so that then transformed into, okay, we can stay in business, but how do we actually do this and do it safely and still serve our customers and make sure our teams, you know, get to stay on board and still get paid. And so those first couple of weeks were really tricky, but I think the last few weeks we've kind of gotten it down and, you know, it's working. And definitely look forward to when we can have guests back in the store and do some events and toast one another and all that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, we've been doing okay. And, we feel really lucky and I'm super grateful, particularly compared to, a lot of friends in the industry and kind of what's been happening, particularly with restaurants.
Yeah. You and your team have been working very hard. I know I've gotten some wine from you and friends of mine have as well. And you get it there pretty quickly considering everything that's going on. It's been amazing.
Good. Love to hear that. That's awesome.
I know you have a store in California, in San Francisco as well.
Yeah.
Has that been a different approach to this or has it been a pretty similar? Have you learned things?
No, it's basically the same thing. And if I remember correctly, I think San Francisco actually went into lockdown a bit sooner than we did here in New York, but only by like a day or two. So we kind of transitioned out there just before we did here. So they're both operating the exact same way at this point, you know, just taking online orders and filling them and doing what we can to stay engaged with our customers, you know, whether that's via email or via social media or content that we're putting out or any of that, you know, trying to continue to keep that sense of community and still make it fun and interesting for people, despite, you know, the difficulties.
I wonder if now that everyone's at home and not eating out in restaurants since they're all closed, are people buying more wine? Are their spending habits, you know, changed? My gut would be maybe that people are buying wine in greater quantities, but maybe at lower price points. Is that
you're exactly right? Yeah, okay. That's exactly what it is. So volume has definitely gone up, but you know, average bottle price has gone down, which is to be expected, right? I think, you know, people are staying home more often. They're not buying wine, like a fancier bottle of wine to just drink on the weekend. You know, they're looking for stuff to drink almost every night. So, you know, it's more kind of what can I stock up my house with for the week or for the month or however they're buying, you know, kind of larger volumes of things, but definitely the kind of cheaper fun stuff.
You know, going back to something you said before, I keep thinking about that, you know, at the beginning, you were sort of doing things differently and you'd sort of have things dialed in now. I wonder what are those things that you learned and what are the changes you've made throughout the process?
We're very lucky to begin with in the sense that we had a good focus on e-commerce early on. I think had we not had a fairly robust system for e-commerce to begin with, this would have been a much more difficult transition. And we kind of leaned into that towards the end of last year too, and that's really helped. So a lot of our focus lately has been, because that's our only channel of doing any commerce whatsoever right now, is how do we maximize that experience? And for us, that comes in a few forms. One is the wines that are available, right? We want to have fun, interesting things available for people that are on the site. We want to make sure that we're filling in a lot of cool stuff at those lower price points, right? So considering inventory, we're also tweaked our like checkout experience and some of the little kind of more transactional things, but meaningful things to make the purchasing experience a little more seamless on the site. And then spent some time trying to figure out how do we get things to people quickly and efficiently and make it, you know, just feel nice. So, I mean, that's good that you got your stuff quick. And, you know, we started doing a 2-hour same day delivery all over Manhattan and in San Francisco, like the 7x7 region of San Francisco. So we figured out how to make that happen and make it really easy for people. So, you know, that's kind of what we've leaned into and it's paid off and helped us because we can't have people coming in. So it's been good.
Yeah. So many of my favorite wine retail stores don't have great websites. Like it's sort of all about going into the shop. And it's fantastic to go into Verve. But one of the things I love about what you do is how much you've invested into the website. Everything that's on your site is, you know, tends to be available. And stuff I want to drink, frankly. But a lot of my other favorite places, it's, you know, they don't have their whole inventory up there. What's up there isn't available. It's hard to search. Mm-hmm. And you really have mm-hmm. gotten that figured out. Was that part of the model of Verve since the beginning?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things that we pushed on really early on. Is I had the same issue, right? Like I had the places where I like to buy wine from, but it was kind of difficult for us to buy online. So I just wanted to make it easy and kind of feel just like shopping for anything else. And it's been interesting because, you know, it's been an uphill battle. It has not been easy to try to convert people into thinking about buying wines online, even if they're local, right? And can get it fairly quickly. But, this whole process, despite everything, you know, I think has changed some people's habits, and it's made even people right around the corner from us realize like, oh, this is super easy. So, hopefully we're hoping they'll continue to use it after all this is said and done.
This episode of In the Drink is brought to you by Melio. Melio is the leading payment solution platform for the wine and spirits industry. They work with tons of great distributors. And if you are a buyer and you don't want to deal with paper, you don't want to deal with writing checks anymore, Melio is perfect for you. One of the things I really love about Melio is that they make it really easy for you to do all of your payments in one place. You don't need to be an accountant. You don't need to be a CPA. You can actually pay all of your bills all in one place, and you can even pay them with credit card, and that's for vendors that don't normally take credit card. And I'll tell you what, during these times when cash is tight, paying with credit card is not the worst thing, you know, at least for some restaurants. So I truly recommend Melio. I think they're a great company and appreciate their support during these challenging times. One of the other things I love about your selection, you know, especially for like a wine geek like myself, that you just always have these really hard to find wines, super allocated wines that you just like list, you put them up on your site. I wonder if now that you're not competing with restaurants for some of these wines, have you seen allocations be a little bit greater? Like, is it easier to get some hard to find wines?
Yeah, definitely has been. And we're taking advantage of that when we can. You know, it's all, you got to have the cash too to buy them and ensure that, you know, retail is definitely, it's a cash flow game. You know, mm-hmm. every time you buy, you got to make sure you can't really sell our stuff in the same way that you can in a restaurant. Wine's the only thing that you're using to drive revenue for your business. So it comes in and it has to go. So it's been a little tricky, but we've tried to take advantage of things when we can. And not only for the health of our own business, but also for, you know, our friends who are in the import and distribution side of this whole thing. And they're being just as affected as anybody else is. And, you know, a huge swath of their customers are currently on lockdown and can't really buy anything. Or if they're still doing takeout or maybe a little bit of wine to go or something, I'm sure it's very small in comparison to what they were doing before. So, you know, we're trying to do what we can to, you know, if we're moving bottles, that means we can buy bottles from them. And when those allocations come around, if we can snag them and, you know, get some money in the pockets of our distributors and back to the producers and keep the machine running, you know, as much as we can, that's what we want to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great point, because when the restaurant industry and got this very short, at least in New York, it was 24 hours. You know, you have to shut down, cut off the revenue right at the, you know, right away. I think a lot of people left distributors kind of high and dry. So they just didn't mm-hmm. have, you know, they didn't have the money. The restaurant industry is such a small margin business mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe you're going to pay your employees first, and then New York government tax and probably distributors a little bit lower down on that list in terms of priorities. So that's a really good point that, you know, you're actually able to help these people who need it too.
Right.
Who actually just got kicked in the groin with the import taxes too.
Right. Right. Yeah. They've had a rough go these last few months, but you know, there's not anybody that this whole thing hasn't affected. Right. And if you think about the impact of restaurants alone, not even considering other industries, right? If you just look at restaurants and the number of, you know, kind of the domino effect of that, farmers, you know, distributors and importers, you know, all the way down to the winemakers. The winemakers are having trouble selling wine. That means their vineyard workers are probably being laid off. You know, they're not able to, or they're maybe not able to purchase grapes from vineyards that they would buy from before. So it's, you know, the kind of the trickle down of it is really huge. And, you know, I think anything that we can kind of do to keep it going, you know, we got to do our best to do that.
Yeah. And so is your business such that you guys are buying at the same rate as you were before? Are you kind of scaling it back and staying leaner?
No, we've definitely scaled it back and stayed leaner. And we're really, you know, with the exception of, you know, allocations that we know will be useful to us down the road, staying away from buying more high-end stuff. And it's really just about, you know, kind of what's moving right now, what's making people happy and what they're comfortable with, and utilizing, you know, what's in the store already. And then any new purchases outside of allocations are really kind of focused on that lower price point, keeping great values around and making sure people have a lot of options in those lower prices.
I've spoken with a couple of wine industry friends who've said that their personal drinking has moved towards more like the comforting wines, the wines that they've had, you know, they've gone back to in other points in their career, time again, as opposed to like reaching out and branching out and trying new things. I wonder in terms of the consumer behavior, and then I'd also love to know in terms of your own drinking, like, is that what you're seeing? Are people not only moving towards maybe less expensive wines, but not the more out there and adventurous stuff? Or what are you seeing with consumers?
You know, it's tricky, and we might be a bit of an outlier on this. I'm not sure. I think we still see a lot of kind of more esoteric stuff going out the door, but that's also in our lower price points. We tend to have a lot of esoteric stuff. Certainly, you know, the California Chardonnays and Pinot Grigio and that kind of stuff is going, but people are still buying like quirky Spanish wines and weird backwater Northern Italian wines and Sicilian stuff and, you know, German reds and Blaufränkisch and Finger Lakes wines, all that stuff. So, but that's kind of what makes what I really enjoy actually is like having those kinds of weird fun things at lower price points for people to experiment with. So that's still going, but it's interesting to think about though, right? Because, you know, in times like this where you could, you know, find yourself getting a little bummed out about what's happening in the world, or maybe your business is in a stressful place, or things are uncertain with your own future, the things that you kind of lean back on are the things that make you happy, that make you comfortable, right? So I can see how, you know, opening something that reminds you of visiting a place in the world, or popping open a bottle that, you know, you had on a special dinner years ago that was a great memory for you, or something like that. During times like this, those experiences of just popping in and drinking it at home can still conjure up those fond memories of the past. And I can see how that could be really comforting in a time like this. So I think it's also different for different people. I mean, me personally, it's funny because I don't really drink that much during the week in normal times, you know, like, so a lot of times I wouldn't be getting home until like 8, 9 o'clock anyway. And I'd kind of make dinner and continue to work on my computer on the couch or something, and then go to sleep. And, you know, since this has started and I spend a lot of time working in the house, I find myself wanting a glass of wine at like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock. So, you know, I went from hardly drinking during the week at all to usually having a couple glasses almost every night, which has been actually really fun because it's kind of reconnected me with wine in a way that I haven't had in a while. I think I've been just busy the last few years and, you know, still tasting a lot and tasting, you know, drinking or tasting more for the job and less about the true enjoyment of it. So I'm looking at my stash right now. I've got definitely have like a handful of Northern Rhone Syrah wines over there and some Beaujolais, and got some Chenin Blanc and Champagne in the fridge. And so for me, it's definitely been like the comfort stuff for sure. The things that I just like to drink, and that's it.
I know Spain has been a big passion of yours lately, and Verve is such a great,
yeah,
all so my much favorite cool stuff there.
So cool. Definitely. Yeah, all the stuff from Galicia, or it's cool stuff from Catalonia right now. And, you know, I'm a big fan of like the Garnacha wines from around Madrid. And yeah, definitely love me some Spanish stuff.
I wonder if you have any sense as to if there will be lasting impact on the retail business after things return to some sense of normalcy, at least when people can go back to restaurants and go back to work.
You know, it's really interesting, and I talk about it a lot with people almost every day right now. And, you know, we're all giving our best guess, right? But I think it's been very clear how restaurants affect retail through all this as well. Like, so we saw certainly an increase in volume, like I said, in the number of bottles going out the door when restaurants close. People they can't go out to eat anymore. They can't sit down at their favorite place and pop a bottle. They're drinking at home. They're eating at home. Retail business is gonna you know, benefit from that. So we are connected in that way. And, you know, with restaurants, so I guess to think about the future of retail, we have to look at kind of the short-term future of restaurants as well. And I think restaurants are going to, you know, it's going to be a bit of a struggle even when they're allowed to reopen again. We don't know what the social distancing protocols are going to look like. We don't know what the kind of safety and sanitation protocols are going to look like. Are people, before a vaccine is ready, are they going to be ready and willing to go back out and stick themselves into social settings? You know, so there's a lot of things that are up in the air when it comes to restaurants, even once we kind of get the permission to go back and reopen things, right? So I have a feeling that from a retail standpoint, we're going to be kind of in this zone sort of for the foreseeable future. Obviously, at some point, we're going to be able to reopen our doors and let people back in. And I think that's just a little bit of an easier lift in a retail setting than it is for restaurants, right? Like, you know, letting people back in the door and yanking out half your tables is terrible for your business. You know, for us to kind of make sure that distancing practices are in place and there's lines for 6 feet apart and stuff in the stores, you know, people can still come in and they can shop safely and it's not that big of a deal. You know, we used to do a lot of events and that was a big part of our thing. And obviously we haven't been able to do that lately. So I think it's going to be a while until we can pick that back up again. So, you know, we're starting to dabble in these like online virtual tastings and things like that and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And that could potentially become maybe a longer term viable, you know, strategy for us, even once we can have people back in the store in an event capacity. So I guess the point is a lot of it's still up in the air, but I see the virtual events thing continuing. I think the e-commerce and online thing is going to continue to feel good for a while. I think people have enjoyed that experience and they realize how easy it is. And, you know, it's been long enough too that I think their habits have begun to change a little bit. So, you know, instead of maybe swinging outside and running down the street to grab your bottle, you can just, you know, pull your phone up and order it and have it delivered to your doorman or whatever. So, you know, I see us continuing to have more to do on the e-com side of things after this is over as well. But you know, we'll see. You know, we're all staying positive and watching things week to week and listening to our guests and, you know, what their needs are and what their wants are and, you know, just making sure we're responding to them in as quickly and as nicely as we can.
Yeah. You're in sort of a primo real estate location in Tribeca. I wonder, everything you're saying to me sounds like now that you've really established this e-commerce business and you've connected with so many people online, I wonder if there's going to be as much of an importance in having this like really like class A real estate location.
Right. It's a really interesting question. And I think a lot of the answer to that rides on how much people, the consumer ends up relying on this way of ordering wine, right? I can't help but look at how efficient it is from a business standpoint, you know, as like the operator to look at it and say, okay, we don't need as many hands in the store on a daily basis as we did when the store's open and people are coming in or when we're hosting events and parties and that sort of thing. You know, it is essentially a warehouse at this point. You don't need as much square. If you were able to just kind of operate like this, you wouldn't need as much square footage. It wouldn't matter so much as to where you're located. You wouldn't need to be on like a prime spot on a prime street or anything like that if people's habits were really formed around purchasing this way. But I don't think we're fully there yet for where that doesn't matter. I think once things are open again and people are going to be excited to go back to their local wine store and talk to those people again and attend those tastings or events. And I see that working nicely right now, but I don't think it's going to change dramatically for the long term. Just my gut.
I hope you're right. I think that the convenience of buying online is really nice, especially times like these. But I love going into a wine store and touching bottles and looking at labels and the Italian way of shopping, where you go one place for your wine and one place for your cheese, one place for your bread,
yeah,
one place for your meat. Like that, that's really appealing to me. It seems like such a distant way of doing things, but I hope we can get back to something like that.
Yeah, I think we will. And I think, you know, once they say, hey guys, you know, feel free to go back out there and get back to normalcy, I'm sure everybody's going to be totally ready for that. I know I am.
A big part of what you do in retail is connecting with your customers. You know, it's a different way from a restaurant where we can see if a guest is enjoying the wine in the moment. It's sort of a more long-term play with retail, right? You sell them a bottle and you try to keep in touch and hope to hear from them, see if they enjoy it and form these really great long-term relationships. How has that changed during this? I imagine maybe it's a, you know, if no one's coming in and not seeing people face to face, you have to maybe be more creative or put more effort into reaching out to them digitally.
Yeah, a lot of our conversations have really moved to email. You know, guests have written us saying thank you and, you know, have been appreciative of the service or are excited to get their bottles. And, you know, I think all of New York is in this together, and the people that are at home ordering, you know, they recognize that the team is there and helping them get their wine, and they've braved the elements to get down there. And, you know, I think everybody's been really appreciative of that. And I think it's really nice to see. And whenever somebody sends an email, it gives us an opportunity to engage with them a little bit. We also have, frankly, you know, come across a lot of new customers because of this too, for better or for worse. You know, they maybe didn't have access to a local wine shop before, so they're buying something online now. Or, you know, we've seen an influx of new customers online, which allows us to create new relationships too. So while everything has certainly gone digital, I would not say we've seen a drop in communication or the opportunities to still make those connections and form relationships. It's actually, I think, just as strong, if not a little bit stronger, just given everything that's going on and people are sensitive to that.
Yeah, I wonder if when we, you know, I find myself thanking the mailman and the UPS driver ways that maybe I wouldn't have in the past. I wonder if this is going
to
make us just a little bit more grateful of a society for like things that we took for granted. And
I agree.
Do you think so?
Yeah. But like, you know, I go to the grocery store across the street now. And it's like, you know, I wait in line forever to even get in the first place. But then you see the people bagging things up and checking you out and all of that. And they're still so happy and friendly. And just like, man, it just gives you a newfound respect. Like, I'm so thankful to be able to be here and buy stuff and go home and make dinner. I'm able to do that because you're here. And it just is, it's really nice. And it's something that, you know, we maybe took for granted a little bit before. But it's been amazing to kind of recognize that, I think.
I'd love to sort of end on that positive note, unless there's anything that, you know, that I'm missing about what retail wine is going through during this time. If there's something that I haven't thought about, feel free to let us in on it.
Man, I don't think so. I think, you know, I just hope people continue to enjoy wine and find new fun things to drink. And we're really happy that we're able to be a part of that and help our customers. And, you know, if popping a bottle at the end of your day makes everything feel nice right now, I'm glad that we can help be a part of that.
And, you know, you're supporting independent wineries and great importers and distributors. And I hope that everyone could support their local wine store, Verve, and their other local wine stores.
Definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, a quick departure from the retail thing and into restaurants. Obviously, I came from restaurants and, you know, still have a very deep connection to them. And, you know, it's really a struggle to see what's going on with restaurants currently. And I think a lot of people are wondering what they can do to help and, you know, have been ordering online or ordering takeout or delivery or something from your favorite neighborhood spot or whatever the case may be, which is awesome. And people should definitely continue to do that. I just maybe want to plug Independent Restaurant Coalition here a little bit, because I think the work that they're doing to try to bring some of these issues to light in Congress right now is really important. And at the end of the day, what restaurants are really going to need is financial help. And, you know, if we want to be able to still go to the same places that we love so much, that's what they're going to need. And I feel like the IRC is doing a great job with that. So if you're not familiar with it, you should check it out and follow them and help support them.
I couldn't agree more. They vocalize my frustrations on a daily basis. And so it's been great to see how organized they are. And, you know, it's been one of the challenging things for our industry in the past is that although we represent a big group of employees, a big group of the workforce and a big portion of our GDP, it's dispersed amongst a ton of different businesses. It's not like the airline industry, which there's only a small amount of major players. We actually have a more GDP that we contribute, more people we employ, but like such an exponential amount of different businesses, a larger group of ownership that I think it's been hard for everyone to organize. And the one sort of main lobbying group, the NRA, not the Rifle Association, but the Restaurant Association, has really just focused on the interests of the bigger restaurant groups. So seeing something like IRC really vocalize what's important for small independent restaurants, the ones that, you know, you and I love to go to, it's been great. So thank you for giving them a plug. And I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We've got a lot of friends out there, you know, trying to figure out what's next and how to make it through. So every little bit helps.
All right. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Dustin.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I also want to give a big thanks to Jessamine Molly, our talented producer from Seaplane Armada. And a huge thanks to our sponsors, Melio and 750. We really couldn't do this without you. And I want to give you guys a reminder that these episodes are coming to you Tuesdays and Fridays for this season. And if you subscribe, you can get those as soon as they come out. And if you have the time, I'd really appreciate it if you were to rate and review the episodes. It would help other people find them, and that would mean the world to me. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Tuesday. Ordering online with 750 could not be easier. All you do is search for the product that you want. Say, a great Chianti from Monte Bernardi. Put that into your search bar. I'm going to do it right now. Let's see how easy this is. Monte Bernardi producer. Ooh, you know what? Let's do the Reserva Saietti 2016. I'm going to add one case to my cart. I'm going to look in my cart right now. There it is, instantly uploaded. I'm going to choose the delivery date. I want this tomorrow, so let's say Wednesday, May 6th, and you click send and it goes right to your distributor and the wine gets there when you want it to be there. It's just like Amazon, except the wines are in stock and it gets there when you want it there. I couldn't tell you how invaluable a resource 750 is. When the restaurants were open, I was on 750 every single day. Now, sometimes I still peruse 750 just to look for wine for inspiration. But if you are ordering wine right now, you need to do it through 750. It could not be any easier.